You know, everybody here, when you look back on your life, there have been some times when you've been broken. And if you really look at it, you can look back and see where maybe one person just happened to be at the right place at the right time to help you through a most horrible time of your life. Maybe you was a teenager. Maybe you was an adult. But somebody just happened to be there at the right time when you was at your wit's end. And whatever they said, whatever they did, whether they hugged you, prayed with you, gave you money, whatever it could have been, at that right time, basically got you on the other side. And when you look back on it, it's why you're here today. God puts people at the right place at the right time to get us through life. I believe that. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Under this umbrella that we've had, that we've been preaching under since January, why is it important to come to church? I'm talking now about a lot of emotional issues that everybody here feels at some time. We have some great Christian writers, Christian psychiatrists, and people who use the Word of God to allow you to look in a different perspective at whatever emotional issues you're going through. We are geared toward emotions. I don't care whether you're a man, I don't care whether you're a woman. Now, men and women sometimes handle emotions different, but we've all got them. And it doesn't make any difference whether you've got money or you're broke, or no matter whether you're male or female, whether you're single or married, whether you've got kids or you don't, whether you've got a job or you're retired, don't make any difference. Everybody deals with emotions. And Satan loves to help you deal with your emotions. Don't he? He does me. Man, you get me just a little out of whack emotionally, maybe Satan is right there. Just make me that much more angry, that much more depressed, that much more feeling unloved, unappreciated, whatever you want to think about. Satan is the master at it. But Jesus loves you, and he loves me. And no matter what you're dealing with, he will walk you through it, step by step by step by step. I believe that. Everybody said?
Amen.
All right. Now, okay, Larry. Being unfulfilled. A lot of different ways you can phrase this. Being unhappy. Being depressed. Being confused. Dealing with your past. Dealing with the present. Dealing with your family. Dealing with your job. Oh, there's all kinds of things that can make you feel unfulfilled in life. And yet, as a Christian, we are to be joyful. Right? Somehow or another, life has a way of getting in the middle of us trying to live. Let me say that one more time. Life has the ability to get into the middle of us trying to live. Because life has issues. Everybody with me? Say amen.
Amen.
Alright. Our scripture is short and sweet. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You notice God there is not capitalized. Where are priorities in life? And how you set priorities, how you deal with life as it comes to you. And I say this a lot on Sundays. You don't know what you're going to have to face today before you go to bed. You don't. You don't have a clue. But whatever you got to face, and whenever you got to face it, you need to face it with Jesus. Everybody said amen?
Amen.
Alright. Look what our writer says here. Feeling unfulfilled. Everywhere we turn, or so it seems, the world promises fulfillment, contentment, that's a neat word, and happiness. The world tells you if you have possessions, if you have money, if you have your health, if you have good kids, good spouse, good boss, man, life's just wonderful. But that's a lie. Because you can have all of that and still be the most miserable person. But the contentment that the world offers is fleeting and incomplete. Thankfully, thanks, the fulfillment that God offers is all encompassing and everlasting. Yeah, it's good if I have a good day and everything's going right for me and everything I touch is good. Well, it's a good day. Tomorrow may be just the opposite. From the time I hit the floor to the alarm clock gets off to I come back home and go to bed, it's been one of the most lousiest days I've ever had when the day before was a good day. You ever had something like that? We never know what we're going to face. And we never know which state of mind we're going to be in to face it. I mean, if I feel good, I can deal with most anything. But get me feeling a little bad, and the least little thing gets me.
Let me see, let me put it in the right framework here. We got children.
You get me ticked off. Aren't you the same way? Boy, if you feel good, you got all the patience in the world. Man, you get a stuffy nose, you get a headache, you get aches, you get the flu which is going around, or you get something more serious. And man, you have no patience whatsoever because you don't feel good. I mean, I can tell it. I know when Monica feels good and when she doesn't, because all I got to do is look at her and I can tell. Same way with me. When I don't feel good, just look at me the wrong way. And I'll tell you everything that's wrong with you since 1942. Huh? That's the way we are. And that's the way Satan likes for us to be. He likes for us to be emotional. So that we act in a manner that's unchristian. And we act in a manner that's miserable. You know what the old saying goes? Well, it says if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. I say if daddy ain't happy, it can get pretty miserable too. Everybody with me?
Yeah.
If you're feeling unfulfilled, and if you like a solution to that dilemma, try asking yourself two simple questions. Look at these questions. Am I seeking fulfillment first and foremost through God? Or am I seeking fulfillment through other means? Question number two. Am I using the gifts and talents that God has given me? Or am I trying to use talents that I wish He had given me? These two questions can be simply answered. Am I genuinely placing God first in my life? Or am I just a beautiful square peg trying to squeeze myself into an ill-fitting round hole? We live in a world today to where everybody tries to fit in. Whether you're at work or especially kids in school. And it's all about trying to fit into the crowd. And to understand, to be unfulfilled just simply means that I'm just not happy with myself. We've got more people today, committing suicide than any other time in history. How pitiful is that? And we're not talking about just strictly adults. We're talking about teenagers. We're talking about kids that's got the rest of their life ahead of them, and they can't see it. Can't see it. How can it be that we've let this world get into such shape that even our teenagers today see no future whatsoever? And I say this all the time, and I don't necessarily mean anything by it, and I don't feel guilty about saying it, but I'll tell you the truth, I believe sometimes I lived in the best age. I really do feel sorry for our teenagers today. Now that doesn't mean that they should take their lives. Now that's ridiculous. But I'm just saying there's a lot out here in this world today that is facing our kids. From what it costs to get an education, to get a job, keep that job, health care, taxes, you name it, that's facing the generations that's coming behind me. I've done live my life. It is overwhelming. But I don't care how overwhelming it may seem. If you've got God and you've got Jesus Christ, there is hope and the morning is coming. Jesus, give Him your life and see exactly what He can do with it. And I don't care whether you're 15 or 95, because the Bible has already warned us about these days. If we know our Bible, nothing should surprise you on what you see when you pick up that newspaper or get on that internet or watch that 6 o'clock news. I don't care whether it's local news or national news. None of that should surprise you, because Jesus tried to tell us before the end of time, this world's going to go to hell in a handbasket. And He said, and when you see that, begin to look to the sky, because one day Jesus is coming to make it right. Now, here's my advice. Hang on. And I don't care whether you're a teenager, you're watching me by camera, or whether you're part of this congregation, hang on to Jesus. I don't care how bad you think it is. I don't care what you've got to face and what you've got to deal with. You hang on to Jesus every day, and He will get you through today, tomorrow, the rest of this week, and the rest of your life if you hang on to Him. Now, how do you do that? How do you hang on? Number one, those of you that are here right now are hanging on, because you're right here at God's house. And I don't care if you're among 15 people or you're among 15,000, whatever church is across this globe, you are hanging on when you come to God's house. Number two, you need to pray. You need to pray daily. You need to keep that communication with God, because you need that. You need it every day. And I say this all the time, but it is the gospel truth. When you pray, it's not just me doing all the talking. Allow some time for quietness and allow God to talk to you. Anytime that I have my prayer time, whether it's morning or night, and I go through all those that I'm praying for, ask God to continue to bless my health. Speaking of that, I want to watch the mannerism to which I say this, because it's going to come across a little bit like, let me just share. In dialysis, we have about 18 to 20 of us that's there Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday mornings. Out of that group, two of us drive ourselves there. Myself at 61, and a man that's 83. The rest of them there have to have transportation to get there because of weak and frail as their body is. You've never seen such attitude as some of these people have that's on dialysis. They hate the world. They feel like they're being punished. They're tarred. And I mean these poor nurses and techs. And Marcia's been in this world for 40 years, are there to help these people, and they get chewed out every day. The two of us that drive, myself and the 83-year-old, we also come there with smiles on our faces. We love to entertain, we love to joke. We have a good time. Believe it or not, I have a good time on dialysis. I really do. I'm going to have a good time no matter where I'm at. Now this 83-year-old, this guy is a character. But I'm getting to a point here. I've been a Christian since I was 12 years old. Been in the ministry for 40 years. This guy has been a Christian since he was 10 years old. Been a deacon for 62 years. We talk about church. We talk about Christians. We talk about the Bible. We talk about it all. We're sort of right next door with each other, sitting in the same recliners almost. Now, I said all that to get to this. Out of 18 people there, there's two of us there that have the ability to drive ourselves there and walk in there without a wheelchair. And the others come there with the biggest chip on their shoulders that you've ever seen. But the two who walk in there and walk out and get in their cars love the Lord. I believe with all of my heart that God takes care of his own people. Many of you here have seen how God has got you through life. And it hasn't been fun a lot of patience, but it's got you through life. When other people are done gone, other people are done to the wayside, but somehow or another, God still keeps you going. And I think there's a reason for that. It's because God needs every Christian person on this planet who has a good attitude. He's going to keep them alive, going to keep them functioning, and going to keep them on this planet until closer he gets to coming, because we represent Jesus on the truest form. Should I be depressed? Oh, I guarantee you. Should I have issues? I guarantee you. I got it all. But I don't come across in public, oh, I have my moments in private. Sure I do. But when I get out in this world, I don't want them to see Roger Hodge and all his issues. I want them to see, look what Jesus Christ has done for him.
Amen.
That's what I want them to see. And we live in a world where people are so unfulfilled, and even Christian people, because they let life overwhelm. overwhelm, and that's a big word, overwhelm them. And let me tell you something, folks. It'll do it if you allow it. If you allow Satan to do it, he will do it. He will overwhelm your world if you allow him to do it. I choose not to think about what all's wrong with me. I think about what all's right with me. Because when I look around and see other people and all of their issues, I'm thankful for what I got.
Amen.
I don't know whether or not this foot's ever going to get healed, but I still got the blasted thing. Most everybody else would have had it cut off years ago. I still got it. Yeah, I had to have open heart surgery. Well, now that I had it back in my 50s, I feel good in my 60s. Now, says, Lord, I've been through every spectrum of that thing, from doing it at home to back in the clinic. I keep trying to hope, but one day I'm going to have a transplant. They won't touch me yet till the foot's healed. And yet God seems to somehow or another use this foot as a testimony. Somehow or another, he convinces me that Roger quit worrying about a transplant. You may not even have to have a transplant if I come. Because then you will get the true transplant when you see me. You just keep doing what I've called you to do. Quit looking around and seeing other people's problems. Quit looking around and seeing how everybody else is falling over dead. Quit looking at that. You just keep your eye on the ball focused on what you're supposed to do. Let me take care of the rest. Now, I finally had to come to some conclusion about that, because if I didn't, I would be miserable. So again, I have to look at what all's right with me instead of what all's wrong with me. I mean, compared to some of you, I still got my right mind. Oh, you got something to say about that?
Open to interpretation.
So is your employment here, too. Oh, Jesus. You know, we can choose to complain if we want to. Or we can choose to just grab life and run with it. I know that nobody here got a perfect life. I know you hurt. I know you have issues, you have problems, you have kid issues, you have parent issues, you have spouse issues, you have job issues, you have health issues. I know you got all the issues. We all got them. But until you take your last breath, I promise you, whatever's wrong with you, you'll still have a quality of life if you put Jesus first. If you feel unfulfilled, and we'll get into part two of this next week, the best way to be fulfilled is to be in God's house, read God's Bible, and pray to God every day. And when you do that, it's a prescription. It's a formula. But you see, I can give you the prescription all day long. For days in that world for years, they can sit and write these prescriptions all day long, give you the medicine. But when you get home, it's your choice whether you take it or not. And I don't care if that medicine costs $5 or costs $5,000. When you get home, it's up to you. Ain't nobody going to force it down you. It's up to you. Same way, Jesus is the prescription. It's been paid for. He's handed it to you. But it's up to you what you do with it. Period. Up to you. It's up to you how you live. It really is. It's up to you. You can choose to be depressed, you can choose to be mad, you can choose to be confused, or you can make a choice to say, hey, God's on my side. Yeah, I don't have a perfect life, have a perfect day, but I'm going to live for him and do the best I can, and his grace will get me through whatever I have to deal with. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Stand with me, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, how much we feel your spirit in this place today. Father, may we understand, life is not fair sometimes. Life can be downright horrible. But if I choose to look to the cross every day, if I choose to read my Bible every day, if I choose to talk to you every day, I'm going to work my way through all of that, and I'm going to come out on top. But it's my choice to make. You've laid out the prescription right in front of us, but it's up to us whether we take it or not. Father, if somebody needs a quiet time at this altar, we invite them to come. If there are issues that we need to deal with, Father, allow them to come and pray about that. Maybe you're looking for a good church home. We'd love to have you. But God is on the throne. Jesus is here with us. But so help me, as much as I stand right here in front of you, the trumpet is in the hands of Jesus. And he's coming. May the church get ready. Father, bless these moments. Again, we're thankful for your spirit. We fill it in this place. Bless this invitation. In Jesus' name.